Today's staff is Yud Zion. We're going to finish the third parak, start the fourth. We're going to start now about 10 lines from the bottom of Tet Zion Amabet. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. So we saw yesterday that you're not allowed to move from one place to another, right? If you stayed at someone's inn, you have to kind of, you know, you have a landlord, you have to stay there because it might cause people to think that either you're not a good person because people can't live with you, or the innkeeper isn't so good. Now we're going to talk about another thing that's interesting. It doesn't really sound like you have to do this, but it sounds like this is one of those cases where the Gemara is giving you good advice. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shelo yishade adam, lo yishane adam me'umanuto u'me'umanut avotav. You should continue in the same work that your father or your ancestors worked in. It says u'manut avotav v'rabim. We'll see that avotav, they're going to assume, means not only your father, but your grandfather from your mother's side also. In other words, stick within the family business, it's basically saying. Shneamar, how do we know this? Because it talks about, we're going to talk about Chiram. You remember Chiram Melech Tzur, who helped with Shlomo? Okay, he in fact was Jewish. We're going to see he was from Matan Naphtali. Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, vayikach et Chiram Mitzur, ben Isha Almanahu miMatan Naphtali. He was the widow's son from Matan Naphtali. Vaviv, his father, had been Ish Tzari Charash Nechoshet. He was a copper welder, right? What did they say? Coppersmith. Vamar, and not only was his father a coppersmith, because it also says about Chiram that he was, but because then the pasuk says after Ben Yishal Menam Yisav Tali, and then it says Vayimaleh et ha-chuchma ve'et ha-tvuna ve'et ha-dal la'asok kol melacha b'nechoshet. Okay, and then he went Vayavo al ha-melech Shlomo v'yatzet kol melechto. And then he worked for Shlomo doing this exactly what his father had done. Not only was his father a coppersmith, but Amar Mar, Imei mi Beit Dan, his mother was from Dan, Uktiv, and if we go back all the way to Shevet Dan, Ktiv Vito with Bezalel, who's supposed to do Maasim, Bekesef, Zahav, and Nechoshet in the Mishkan, it says Vito, and with him, Eto Aliyah ben Achisamach Lemate Dan. And the assumption is that eventually from Achisamach, from Ahaliyav, came this woman who was the mother of Chiram. So therefore also continued in the way of his father's, his mother's ancestors, matern. Okay, now we're moving on to a different topic, which is Ad Hechan Tachlik Yisurin. Okay, what does this mean? What can be counted as suffering? Okay, we're going to see an interesting collection of things. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kol Sha'argulo Beged Lebosh Ve'emet Kabel Alav. They sewed you something and it didn't fit you. Okay, like they shortened it too much, or you know, they did it wrong. That's considered suffering. This is when people always say kapara alayich, you know, and things like that. You know, you got a traffic ticket, you know, like that should be kapara. This is exactly the segula this comes from. I'm sure it's in other places too, but it's here. Maskef la rav ze'ere ve'itema Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani gudolami zo amru. Even less. Now he questions him. He says, "What do you mean? You think that's suffering?" It says even something way less than that is suffering. Okay, if you didn't think that was such suffering, okay? Amru afilu nitkavnu limzog b'chamin u'magzulo b'muzgulo b'tzoneh. B'tzoneh u'magzulo b'chamin. He was planning to, right, the intent was to dilute his wine with hot water, and they diluted it with cold water. Or, remember, the mizigata kos is to basically make the wine, because the wine was a concentrate. Or the reverse, he wanted it cold and they made it warm. And that's suffering. And you went so far as to say the clothes didn't fit you properly? So what do they answer? They don't really answer this. He basically is disagreeing with him and saying it's way less than what you said. And now we're going to bring another opinion that says it's also pretty something pretty basic, can be considered suffering. Even if you put your clothes on inside out and you now, or backwards, and you now have to take it off and redo it, right? That's considered suffering.
Petty.
This is very petty. We're going to see in a minute. The Gemara is going to say, what's the point of all this?
If you have one outfit, in those days, they didn't go to the store by 100 things. Like one
I could see, the truth is, so in context of all these things, you could see that getting the wrong clothing, you know, and they shorten it too much, and you have nothing to wear, you could see that would be a bigger deal. But to put on your clothes and have to reverse it is not the biggest deal. Although I have to say, my house, I've seen, you know, my youngest daughter gets very frustrated when she accidentally puts on her shirt backwards. You know, she gets really frustrated by, oh, I did it all wrong, now I have to redo it. You know, depending on who you are and what stage you're at in life. You could see that that could be a frustration, but a grown person shouldn't really be upset about something like that. Now the Gemara is going to say, Rav of Itay Rav Chisiv, Itay Rav Yitzchak, Va'amri Lav Matnita Tana. Okay, one of three possibilities, or it was just a braita. Afilu Hoshit Yado Lakis Litol Shalosh. Put your hand into your pocket to get three coins. Palubi Yado Shtayim. And now you have to dig back into your pocket to find. Right? Sometimes I can't find my keys in my pocketbook. You can see that's frustrating. Okay, I can now call that suffering. Then they say Dafka Shalosh Palubi Yado Shtayim. Aval Shtayim Palubi Yado Shalosh Lo. Well, that's only also when you're looking for three and you only found two. Then you have to dig further. But if you accidentally take out three and you really only need two and you just have to drop one back into your pocket, that we don't call suffering. Okay, ad kan. Lo, delay katircha lemishtayu. Because it's certainly it's not very difficult to just put it back into your pocket. It's the idea of searching for something in your pocket. Now the Gemara finally asks the question we've been wondering, which is, v'chol kach lama, what's the point of this? To say that's suffering, that is, it isn't suffering, what does it matter? Detani debei Rabbi Yishmael, kol shavru alav arba'im yom b'lo yisurin kibel olamo. Now we talk about this concept that Rabbi Yishmael says, which is if 40 days pass and you haven't had any suffering whatsoever, you've kind of gotten all your reward in this world. This goes back to something we've talked about in a number of contexts, that the rabbis have this sense that if you get all your rewards in this world, then you're going to end up having nothing left in Olam Haba. So if you don't suffer at all, then you're going to be left with all your suffering later. So better to suffer in this world. And then the idea is, well, there's this 40-day period. If you go 40 days without any sort of suffering, well, then that's it. You know, you're doomed. So they say, therefore, be happy when something small bad happens to you, because that at least will count as yisurin, and you won't have to worry that, you know, you've kind of used up everything in this world. I'll just continue one more minute, and then we'll go back and talk about this for a second. B'marava Amre in Eretz Yisrael, they said, Dafka, not that, they said something else. Puranum is davenet lo. You know that if 40 days have gone by and nothing bad has happened to you, you know that it's coming. Okay? And basically, people don't go 40 days without something happening. Interesting, 40 days, like 40 days Moshe went up on Har Sinai, and then, by the way, something terrible happened. Maybe there's also some connection. Maybe that's why they say Puranu, you know. After 40 days, like Moshe went up on the mountain, which you think was this great thing, but then, boom, you know, big disaster
it
after
like
that.
It's like a complete hefach of Ezebo Asher Asomayach B'chalko, because, you know, you have people who look at all this and say, oh, no.
So I actually think it works together, and this is what I wanted to say about what I think they're trying to say is, again, I think the rabbis didn't always view their statements to be taken literally. I think what they were trying to do is to comfort people who have little, you know, have things to complain about, and they say, don't worry, you're yisurin, even small things, you know, for sure, big things, look at them in a positive way, because they're really kind of helping you for the long term. Like, this is God's way of punishing you for something here. Again, you know, whether we always view suffering as correlated to punishment or whatever, but it's a way of getting rid of anything, you know, that might have happened here and kind of clean you up for the future. That's why people always say it should be a kapara, right? It's exactly what they mean. That this kind of, okay, now that wiped out some of the bad things you did and now you can move on, you know, now you're kind of clean. It was a way of, you know, way of approach to dealing with life, I think, is the way they viewed it. I don't think they really meant this all to be understood literally. And certainly not 40 days, like everyone's counting on a calendar, 40 days, oh, what's happened to me in the last 40 days. But it's a way of saying, don't sweat the small stuff, I think, also. You know, it's kind of saying they're yisurim, but it's saying, those are yisurim that are good for you, and, you know, move on from them. So I think it's dafka, like, saying the same thing. Tanya Rabbi Elazar HaGadol Omer. If God had come to Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with din, strict judgment, okay, we're back to the tochacha, right? God would never, basically, even Abraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov did sins, and they wouldn't have been able to help hold up to God's midat hadin. How do we know this? Shenemar, this is in the chapter where Shmuel says to the people about, you know, asking for a king. That it was a bad thing to ask for a king. He says, "Atayt yetzvu v'ishavtay etchem lifnei Hashem." You're going to be judged before God. Et kol tzidkot Hashem asher asay etchem ve'et avotechem. Right? God's going to basically put out before you all the times He was nice to your fathers, and you know, not just to you, but also to your fathers. Meaning that God didn't always treat you with midat hadin. And right, it's also comparing. I think there, I didn't look at the context, but I seem to remember. Right, a king judges you with midat hadin, but God judges you with rachamim. And here, they're assuming, Rabbi Elazar HaGadol, that the reference to the Avotechem is to your forefathers, to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that they also wouldn't have been able to, that God also treated them with tzedakah, which here means with rachamim, rather than with din, they wouldn't have been able to hold up. We're going to end with an idea about leadership. Ze dor d'oshav mevakshei panecha Yaakov Sela, that we say in the Shir Shal Yom on Sundays. What does this mean? Ze dor d'oshav and mevakshei panecha Yaakov Sela. So they're comparing the door to the manhig, Yaakov. Pliki barab Yehuda nesi av rabbanan. There's a machloka about how to understand this. Chad amar, dor lefi parnas. The generation follows the leader. V'chad amar, parnas lefi doro. The leader follows the generation. This is a big debate, one could say. Now the Gemara is going to say, Lamai Hilchata, for what relevance? In what way does either the manhig, the leader, follows the generation, or the generation follows the leader? Ilema Lamal Yuta, if you want to say, in terms of greatness, Dimar Savar Imale Dara Male Parnas, Umar Savar Imale Parnas Male Dara, and the machlok it is, if you have a great generation, then the leader will be great. And if you have a great leader, the generation will be great. That's the machloket. You can't possibly say that, because it's not always true. And we're going to prove it from none other than, where do we have the best examples? Where we have leaders and people who don't always match up? In Sefer Melachim. We have kings that we know. Were they good kings? Were they bad kings? And was the generation good? Was the generation bad? So we're going to give two examples of two kings from the end of Malchut Yehuda, before the Churban. Ha'ikat Tzidkiyahu dehava male, v'dara lo hava male. Tzidkiyahu was great, but his generation wasn't great. Okay, that was the generation right before the Churban. V'ha Yehoyakim, who was the son of Yoshiyahu, de'lo hayamale, he was not a good king. It says, v'yasara ben Hashem, there were all sorts of things he did wrong. V'dare have male, but his generation was good. Now, why was his generation good? So the assumption is, and we're going to see a bright that talks about it, just going to prove it from a pasuk, but we don't really have good proof that the generation was good. It doesn't say anywhere in the pasuk about the people, but the assumption is that Yoshiyahu did this whole reformation, and therefore, once he did this reformation, right, he cleaned out, he got rid of all the psalim, there was an assumption that that trickled down to the people, and that the people were a good generation. It's a bit of a problem with that, because Yoshiyahu, in the end, ends up getting punished, and they say the reason he got punished was because he was a good leader and the people weren't, and he wasn't an effective leader because he didn't affect the people well. This obviously doesn't really hold by that, because this seems to say, or maybe you could say it skipped a generation. In other words, he did this reformation, he wasn't able to be a successful leader for the people in his time, but in his son's time, the after effects of what he did kicked in and the people were a better generation. Here we're going to see where they prove it from a pasuk. Again, it's really a drasha. That this is the case. De'amar Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mai dechtiv bereshit mamlachot Yehoyakim Melech Yehuda, and also it says bereshit mamlachot Tzidkiyahu. Why does it use the word bereshit? It should say bitchilat, right? Bereshit is not generally a term that's used. What is it obviously referencing? Sefer bereshit. What happened bereshit? What was everything? Tohu vavohu. So that's going to be the drasha here. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzirat ha'olam letov vavo b'shvil Yehoyakim. God wanted to basically destroy the world and put it back to the way it was before Maaseh Bereshit. Kevan, because he saw what Yehoyakim did, meaning Yehoyakim was really bad. But Kevan, why didn't God do that? Because Kevan shenis tekel b'doro nityashva da'ato. He saw how good the people were and he said, I won't destroy them. And Bereshit mamlecha Tzidkiyahu, same thing, but the reverse. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu lachzirat ha'olam letov vavo mipnei doro shel Tzidkiyahu. Kevan shenistakel b'Tzidkiyahu nityashva da'ato. And the exact reverse happened in Tzidkiyahu's times. God wanted to destroy them because of the people, but he saw Tzidkiyahu, he said, he's great, I'm going to save them on behalf of them. Now, what does that all prove? Again, that was all to say, you can't say that the generation follows the leader and the leader or the leader follows the generation, because we see that in Yehoyakim and Tzidkiyahu's times, there wasn't a matchup. It didn't work out that way. So what are the answer? Elalinyan tokva v'nichuta kamrinan. We're talking about a personality thing, okay? Meaning, is someone tokvani, are they always angry? Or is someone noach l'ratzot, the calm, easy personality? So now we're going to say something which I think is very true, which is, do we say that if a manhig is always angry and screaming and getting upset at the people all the time, then the generation is going to be of that personality type, right? He's going to affect them, right? We all know that we're affected by our environment. So if you have a boss who's screaming all the time, or you have someone in the house right, who's screaming all the time. So again, is it the parents who are the ones who are causing, setting the tone in the house, or is it the kids who are setting the tone, right? And if you're in an office environment and there's one worker who's just always getting angry, we all know it creates a bad environment. So one could see arguments for both, right? In other words, number one, the leader has to show leadership and kind of set the tone. On the other hand, the people also have to realize that they also set the tone, and that if they start getting angry all the time, then everyone else is going to be in, and the reverse, in a positive way. Parents stay calm, their kids stay calm. And if, you know, kids are calm, then parents often are. So I think both of these are actually true. Hadron alach yesh be'erchin. I wanted to just say, Ruth pointed out to me yesterday, I didn't think about it. We're talking the last few dapim all about values. And what are we learning? Erchin. It's nice in erchin, which is about the value of a person, right? We start talking about values. We get into a whole values discussion. Again, when we started this, we said a lot of it also had to do with things that you say and what you speak and how it affects things. But I think also I like the idea about it being value and the value of people, the value of humans, the value of our lives, how to run our lives better, etc. Okay, back to erchin, not arachim, but the, you know, not values of midot and all that, but erchin, the halachot of erchin. So now we're going to see, again, like the last two prakim, started out with a list of four and then went into detail of each of the four. We're going to get into details of the first one in this Mishnah. Heseg yad benoder. When we discuss heseg yad, if somebody can't afford to pay the amount that he said he was going to pay, then remember he could pay less, minimum of a shekel. We base that on the noder, not the nidar, right? Whether the person who said it, can he afford it or not. V'hashanim banidar. But how much he has to pay depends on how old the nidar is, the person that he said it about. Notice something strange about this. We've been talking all the time, comparing neder versus erchin, and really, this is in the lashon of noder and nidar, even though it really should be orech, ma'arich, and ne'erach. So the Gemara is going to ask that. V'ha'erchin b'ne'erach. Okay, the amount that you determine whether it's a male or female goes again by the ne'erach. Here they use the right lashon, ne'erach. V'ha'erech, how do we determine the value based on what time? Bizman ha'erech, the moment you said it and not the moment you went to pay. If already the person turned a different age range between the time you said it and the time you paid, it goes by the time you said it and not by the time you pay. Okay, first one. Heseg yad benoder ketzad. How do we have heseg yad benoder? What does this mean? Ani she'erich et ha'ashir. We know this already, right? An ani that says I'm giving the value of somebody who's wealthy. Notein erech ani. He gives based on what he can afford, not, right? It doesn't matter that he was talking about a rich person. It's about what he can afford, as having said, I'm going to give the value of someone. Ve'ashir she'erich et ha'ani. And likewise, if there was a wealthy person who said I'm giving the value of my poor neighbor, still has to give notan erech hashir. He has to obviously give the full value, because again, we always said erechim, right? It's all the value of the person he said, and whether or not you can afford it depends on you yourself. You don't get any heterim because you said about a poor person. Aval b'korbanot eino kein. But if we make a comparison to korbanot, and now there's going to be a debate in the Mishnah, is this a fair comparison or not? Tanakama thinks this is an equal comparison. Rebbe's going to say, no, you're comparing apples and oranges here. Haresha Amar, okay, let's take another example where we have, if somebody's poor, they do something different. A metzora, remember, brings these two birds, and then he kills one of the birds, and the dung from the bird he puts into the waters, and then he brings three korbanot, okay? Two kvasim and an ayil, I think, right? El Hasham and two kvasim, I think that's what it is. Or a kivsan, a keves. He brings a slew of korbanot, but if he can't afford it, then he brings birds instead of animals. So now, what happens here? If somebody says, so only if he can't afford it. Now, who can't afford it? Obviously, the metzora. But we're going to now create a case that's a little bit like erchin, okay, where there's the value of a person, and then there's someone who comes and makes a neder on that. So what is it? Haresha amar korbanot shel metzora ze alai. I say, I'm going to pay for the korbanot of this mitzora. Okay, I'll take it on me. I'll bring his korbanot for him, which apparently you can do. So, let's say I don't have the money, but he does, or the reverse, right? So what are we going to say? Hayah mitzora ani, mevi korban ani. It's all based on, is the mitzora poor? Not, I'm the madir, which is like right? If I say Erki alai or Erech Ploni alai, it goes by me, not by them. Here, we're going to say it's the reverse. It goes by the Mitzora and not by me who took the neder on himself or herself. So, Haya Mitzora Ani, maybe Korban Ani. If he was a Mitzora Ashir, maybe Korban Ashir. It all goes by the Mitzora. We're going to see later. They're going to say not exactly always the case. Rebbe Omer, Rebbe disagrees and says, Omer Ani, Af Be'erchin Kein. It really is the same. Because, B'chi Mipnei Ma Ani She'erich Et Ashir Noten Erech Ani, She'ein Ha'ashir Chayav Klum. Aval Ashir She'amar Ki Alai, V'shama Ani V'amar Ma She'amar Alai, Ze Alai, Noten Erech Ashir. In other words, what's the deal with the erechin? In ani, sherich et ha'ashir gives the erech ani, because the ashir isn't chayav anything, right? If I say I'm giving the erech of some rich guy, the rich guy had absolutely nothing to do with me. I just brought him as an example of what I'm bringing to the Beit HaMikdash. Obviously, he's not chayav anything. But an ashir who says, and what's a fair comparison to the korban case? The korban case, the mitzvah was already chayav a korban. And someone came and said, I'm taking his korban upon me. That's why it all goes based on the ani. Because it all on the mitzora. Because you're basically taking that person's korban. So if he's ani, then you pay ani. And if he's ashir, you pay ashir. That's not the same as saying, I'm giving the value of that person. So here's the comparison, he says. If you had, here's a real comparison. Ashir sh'amar erki alai. If a wealthy person says, I'm giving the value of myself, for example, or anyone's value. Vishamani, and a poor person heard that and said, Masha Amar Zeh Alai, whatever he said I'm going to do, that's the case where we're going to compare it, right? That's just like the Korban case, where someone was high of a Korban Mitzora, and the other guy said, I'm going to take it upon me, right? Where he's basically saying, Masha Ata Amar Tani Oseh, right? In that case, there's no Ptor of Hesed Yad. Then it's exactly the same as the Korban Mitzora. We're going to go by what the first person said. Whatever the first person was mitchayev, right, was obligated in, that's what the second person's going to be obligated in. But that's not what you were comparing, he says to Tana Kama. You were comparing something totally different. In which case, they really are the same. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to start off with the first thing, which is, why does it use the lashon of noder and not ma'arich? Hesed yad b'ma'arichu. It should be b'ma'arich and not b'noder. So what are they answer? Kidichtiv, they use the lashon of the pasuk in the Mishnah. That's very common where the Mishnah will use the way it refers to in the Torah. Asher tasig yad ha-noder yarichenu ha-kohen. It says based on the hesed yad of the noder. The Torah calls the ma'arich a noder, so therefore the Mishnah called them a noder. Okay, that's very nice, but what about the shanim b'nidar? The Torah doesn't refer anywhere to the nidar. So what do we say? B'ne'erachu, right? It should say b'ne'erach. So what are the answer? Parallel lashon in the Mishnah. I did amar hesegya benoder, amar nami hashanim banidar. They want to compare noder to nidar, so they use the same lashon. Hesegya benoder ketzad. Now we're going to start reinterpreting what Tana Kama says here. Hesegya benoder ketzad, ani sherich et ha'ashir noten erech ani. So now they say my time, but what's the reason? Damar kra, asher tasig yad hanoder. So why does it go by the noder? Because the Torah says it explicitly. Binoder tala rachmana, right? It depended on the noder and not the nidar. Aval bekorbanot eno kain. Now, we're going to say, wait, bekorbanot eno kain, haresh amar korbanot shomatzora ze alai. Hayam tzora ani, mevi korban ani. Ba'af agav de midiro ashir. Now, the Mishnah said, if the mitzora was ani, then you have to bring a korban ani. But it didn't say, it sounds like, whether the Madir was rich or poor, no matter what, if he said it, I'm going to take your korbanot upon me, and the person was poor, then he, right, if he's rich, it sounds like he only has to pay the poor man's korban. So the Gemara doesn't like that, right? Afagav de midiro ashir. Does it make any sense? So they say, v'im dalhu amarachmana v'lo dalhu. It only says if you're poor and you can't afford it. Well, the person who's paying actually can afford it. So why, if the mitzora was ani, right? If we have a case where the mitzora is ani and the madir is ashir, since it says imdalhu means the person, it sounds like, paying for it. If the person can afford it, because he's ashir, says, I'll take your korbanot on me. Well, if he has the money, he should really pay. So, what does Rabbi Yitzchak say? I'm Rabbi Yitzchak. Kishahaya midiro ani. In fact, we were only talking about if the mitzora was poor, and the Madir was poor. If the Madir was rich, he actually would have to pay like a rich man. It's only if both of them were poor. So now the Gemara says, now why is this a chiddush? Because Dilma ale dide chas rachmana amidirolo. Just like if you remember Hesed Yad, we said it's only for the person who says it, right? So here maybe you think it's only in Dalhu is only if the Mitzorah is poor. But if someone else says, I'll take your korbanot on me, maybe he's not included in that p'tur. Okay, maybe that exemption doesn't apply to him. Da'aktiv hu, because hu sounds like only one person gets the p'tur. The p'tur is only for the Mitzorah, but if somebody else comes along and says, I'll take it upon me, he doesn't get that exemption. So what Amar Rav Ada Bar Ava, ve'ein yado maseget l'rabot et hanodir. What does it say in that pasuk? It has two things that say the same thing. Im dalhu ve'ein yado maseget. That means the same thing. If he's poor and he can't afford it, being poor and he can't afford it is the same thing. So those extra words come to say that im dalhu comes to say the mitzorah is poor, and ein yado maseget comes to say it even includes someone who's the midiro is poor. Okay? So now we're going to say this exemption in the Mishnah that the midiro also only has to pay a poor man's thing. If the mitzorah, now you need two conditions here. You need the mitzorah to be poor and you need the midiro to be poor. That's what we're going to say. If the mitzorah was rich, then that's not imdalhu. He's going to be out, right? Even if a poor person says, I'll take it upon me, he has to pay the full thing. And likewise, if the mitzorah is poor, and the madir also has to be poor. But if the madir is rich, we're now going to say he would also have to pay the full korban. Okay? Aval madiro ashir, hachanami demaite ba'ashirut. So now you're saying, if the person who said, I'll take it upon myself, is wealthy, he has to pay the full korban? That doesn't make sense, because im kain doesn't make sense with the Mishnah. My aval b'korbanot eino kain. Remember he compared it to korbanot? Well, then the comparison to korbanot, Tanakhama said it's not like in korbanot. Now, in korbanot, you would say, right, if he was ashir, and he said, but korbanot ain't okayn, right? It's saying, basically, the korbanot goes by the nodir, whereas by the mitzorah, not by the madir, whereas erchin goes by the madir. So how could you say that an ashir would have to pay? So now the Gemara is going to say, wait, look in the Mishnah. The Mishnah said two things. Bekorbanot en yokein. It said, Arei shamar korbanot shal mitzorah ze alai. And it gave two cases. If the mitzorah is ani, maybe korban ani. And if the mitzorah is ashir, maybe korban ashir. So now we're going to understand these two cases a little differently than we originally understood them. We're going to say like this. Chada a mitzorah ani umidiro ani. The first case, ani umidiro ani, is only Midiro Ani and not Midiro Ashir. And that is not actually different from Erchin, because we're going to say it all goes by the Madir. If the Madir is poor, he gets his exemption. Just like if the Ma'arich is poor, he gets the exemption. There's actually no difference. But the difference is in the second case. Bechad l'mi'ute mitzora Ashir u'midiro Ani. Okay? If Ashir, what did the Mishnah say? Ashir, if he's ashir, maybe korban ashir, what is that telling you? Even if, right, if the mitzorah is ashir, even if midiro ani, and ani said, I'm going to take this upon myself, then he doesn't get the exemption. And that's different from erchin, because it doesn't always go by the nodir. Right here you might think, the nodir is poor, he said, I'll take it upon myself, and he can't afford it, the p'tur doesn't go to him, whereas in erchin, it would go to him. Okay? So now they're going to say, why would you even think that that would be the case, that you would have to tell us this? You might have thought that since we have imdalhu, remember what we said before, go back to the original drasha, imdalhu is talking about the mitzorah, if the mitzorah is ani, ein yado maseget comes to tell you, even if the madir is ani, but there it's only if both are ani, you need both conditions. But you might have thought that once Ein Yado Maseget comes to say, even if Midiro Ani, you're going to be patur, right? You don't have to give it. You might have thought, if an Ani said, I'll take on a rich man's korban, also he'd be patur? No. The extra Ein Yado Maseget, which comes to include the Ani, is only if also the mitzora was ani. You need both conditions, and that's what it's coming to teach. Now the Gemara says, Lefisha matzinu be'erchin. Okay, we're now going to bring a brayta. Lefisha matzinu be'erchin, ani sheherichet ha'ashir, noten erech ashir. Since we see in erchin that an ani that gave the value of a rich person gives the value of a poor person, right? He can't afford it, so he pays a poor person. Yachol af zekein, you might have thought the same thing would be for a mitzora. Again, what would be the comparison? A rich person was chayav a korban, and the poor person said, I'm going to bring it instead of you. Tamud lamar imdalhu. Therefore, they say imdalhu only if, again, who is referring to who? To the mitzora. It has to be that the mitzora is also poor. Ule Rebbe de Amar Omer Ani Af Be'erchin Ken. Now, what about according to Rebbe, who says there is a comparison between the two? Alma Amar Batar Chiyuva de Gavra Azlina. What does he basically say? It all goes based on the person, right? Meaning the first person who took it upon himself. Now, in the case of the Mitzora, who's the first person? Right? Remember, he said your comparison wasn't a fair comparison because really, with the Mitzora is like the Nodir from the beginning, right? He basically took upon himself, not that he had to, but he had no choice, but he was the one who was supposed to bring the korban first. It goes based on him. Okay, so now according to him, we're going to say, Alma Amar Batar Chiyuva de Gavra Azlina. Okay, so because he goes, Batar Chiyuva de Gavra, Vaha Lo Tzricha Krai Lemeute. But then, according to him, if you always say it goes by the first person who took the neder, you know, either the noder or the mitzora, you don't need imdalhu. Imdalhu is coming to tell you it goes by the mitzora. But he always thinks it goes by the first person, and therefore, you don't even need a pasuk for it. So what does he do? Lemi'ute mai, right? That pasuk, what's the who? Lemi'ute mai. What's it coming to exclude? Why does it say imdalhu? So what are the answer? Lemi'ute mitzora ani umidiro ashir. It's to exclude the case of a poor mitzora and a rich person came to be madir. Sal kadata chamina ho il v'amar Rebbe batar chiyuva de gavra azlinan kamash malam. What does he say here? Very simply. You might have thought if it all goes by the mitzora, then what if the mitzora was poor and a rich person said, I'll take his korbanot? You might have thought, well, it goes by the poor person because it's all based on his original chiyuv, and his chiyuv was only a poor person's chiyuv. Kamashman imdalhu, meaning only the mitzora if he pays it himself. But if someone else comes to pay it for him and that person's wealthy, then he'd have to pay the wealthy. Okay, and that's what he uses that word for. Okay, new Mishnah. Haya ani v'he'eshir, if he was poor and then he became wealthy. Ashir v'he'eni, he was wealthy and then he became poor. Now again, what is this? When he took the vow to say erki alai, he was poor and then became rich, or he was rich and then became poor. Noten erech ashir. No matter what, he gives the value of the rich person. Since at some point he was wealthy, he always gives the value of a wealthy person. Okay? We're going to see why this is further on. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, ani v'he'eshir v'chazar v'he'eni. What if he started out poor, became wealthy, but before he paid, he lost his money and became ani again? Notain erech ashir. Since at some point he was wealthy in the process, okay, according to Tanakama, he has to either start off wealthy or end off wealthy. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it doesn't matter if he starts poor and ends poor. If he was wealthy in the interim, again, this means in between the time he took the vow and he paid it, then he pays like an ashir. Aval b'korbanot eino kein. Similar to last Mishnah, right? But korbanot, it's not the same. Afilu met, okay, in korbanot, we don't go by the, I guess we're just, one second, we're talking, I think, only according to Rabbi Yehuda here. Bichlal, okay? If the mitzora was ashir and became poor, or he was poor and then became rich, everything goes based on the time when he brings his korbanot. Okay, because Imdalhu is talking about when he goes to pay, it all goes based on the time he actually goes to bring his korbanot. Okay, another law here. Afilu meit aviv, v'hiniach lo ribo. His father dies and leaves him a lot of money. Os finato bayam, ubao lo beribaot. He's about to make a lot of money. His boat's coming back with lots of wealth. En lahekdesh bahen klum. He's still judged like an ani, and this isn't considered his possessions. Later on, we're going to see why we don't treat this person like an ashir. Okay, Gemara starts. Ani v'he'eshir. Okay, so now the ani v'he'eshir. Asher tasig yad hanoder. Okay, so what do we see? It sounds like based on, right, tasig yado, when, right, it sounds like yad hanoder, what he can afford at the time he goes to pay. Ashir, right, so therefore, since he can afford it later, Ashir tasig yad hanoder, meaning when he goes to pay, can he pay it? So if he can pay it, then yes, even though he was poor at the time that he said it. How about ani, ashir v'ha'ani? How do we know that? Because it says, al pi asher tasig yad hanoder. Since we're talking about the noder, it sounds like from the time of the neder. Okay, asher tasig yad sounds like what he can afford down the road. And a hanoder sounds like the time he took the neder. So therefore, if at either time he was wealthy, he's going to have to pay the wealthy amount. Rabbi Yehuda omer, afilu ha'ani ve'ashir v'chazar ve'ani noten erech ashir. My time into Rabbi Yehuda. What's his reason? He says, amar kra, v'imach hu me'erkecha. Right, remember, those are the words. If he can't afford it. Ad shehei b'makuto mitzchilato v'ad sofo. They learn from here that it means he has to be always machum erkecha. Machum erkecha sounds like it's describing a status, and a status that stayed constant. That's if he could not afford it from beginning to end, then he's going to be chayav, like the rich person. So then they say, well, if you're going to say machum erkecha means mitzchilato v'ad sofo, so say the same thing by imdalhu, the pasuk about the mitzora. And then they say, and if you really want to say that that is the case, maybe according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Mitzora has to be poor from the time he had Tzarad until the time he paid his korban. Doesn't it say, Mitzora shevi korbonotav, ani v'he'ashir, ashir v'he'ani, hakol holech achar chatat, Divrei Rabbi Shimon. Okay, we're now going to see a three-way machloket about what it goes by. A mitzvah that starts bringing his korbanot but doesn't finish, and his status changes in the interim. So now he has to bring a chatat, an asham, and the two birds. So now they're going to say like this. According to Rabbi Shimon, it goes based on the value of the chatat. If he brought a chatat of a poor person, then he continues to bring the rest like a poor person. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Hakol Aleich Achar Asham. It goes based on what he brought for his Korban Asham. His Korban Asham, again, if it was a poor person, it brings a poor person. If it was a rich person, it brings a rich person. V'tanya, Rabbi Lezer Ben Yaakov Omer, Hakol Aleich Achar Tziporim. It goes based on what his status was when he brought the birds. Okay? The birds being the ones he has to, right, shecht one of them and have the blood go into the mechatan and make that mixture he needs that they put on, right, anyway, they mix into the blood from there. So now, what do they say? According to this, all three opinions think that it depends on what his status is at a particular point in the process, but not that he has to be poor from mitchila v'ad sofo, because we see that it could depend. So ha'it marala, and isn't it said about those? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, or not isn't it, but it is said about this, that shloshtam mikracha darshu, we want to say that all three of these learned it from the same pasuk. Which pasuk? It says, asher lo tasig yado b'taharato. Okay, let me read you the pasukim here. This is Vayikra Yudal Lamed Bet. Okay, but I want to start from the pasuk before. Et asher tasig yado, et ha'achad chatat ve'et ha'achad ola, ala mincha v'chiper kohen ala mitaher lefnei Hashem. Okay, it talks in the pasuk before about the chatat. That's going to be important. Then it says, "Zot Torat Asher Bo Nega Tzarat Asher Lo Tasig Yado B'Taharato." This is what the guy does if he can't afford it. Okay, so now, and it says the word B'Taharato. Notice that word. So Rabbi Shimon Savar Davar HaMechaper. He says, since the pasuk before was talking about kapara v'chiper kohen ala mitaher, and it was talking about the chatat, obviously the kapara is what's important, and therefore it goes based on whether he could have afforded it at the time he brought the chatat. That's why the chatat is the one that's important, right? Ma'ini u'davar ha-machaper, chatat. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, davar ha-machshir. It must be something that allows him to be kasher. Why? Because it says, bishat taharato. Now, when does the mitzora become tahor? Do you remember the asham? He takes the blood of the asham and all that, and what does he do with it? Puts it on the bo'an yado ha-yimanit, and bo'an raglo ha-yimanit, And then what does he do, right, with all that then? Once he does that, then he becomes tahor. So it's what causes him to be mukhshar that he can now come back into the Beit HaMikdash. Remember, he had to do it. He was standing in the, there's that place for the Mitzoraim because they can't go into the Azara at that point, and they have to get the blood on their ear in the Azara, so they do it. They kind of lean in. Okay, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov Sabar, Davar Hagolem lo Tahara. What brings him Tahara? Mainio, the Tzipurim. The Tzipurim are what's important for the Tahara process. And therefore, it's that. Okay? So then they say, so where did we start with this? Didn't we say Imdalhu? Shouldn't it be Mitrilatova ad Sofo? And isn't that what the word Imdalhu is coming to teach you? So now we say, oh, it's good we learned the beginning of the daf earlier today, because what did we already learn from Imdalhu? Imdalhu, what did we say? Imdalhu can't be coming to tell you Mitrilatova ad Sofo, just like Imahu Me'erkacha. The he has, by the way, the Mahu Me'erkacha is really darsha from the word who. Imahu, the he remains stable in this position, right? He has to be always ani. So why don't we say Imdalhu? Oh, because Imdalhu we already darshan today, right? What does the Gemara say? And we'll finish with this today. Lerebi kedi'ile ula derabanan kedi'ile. Each one darshans Imdalhu in their own way, right? We have Rebbe who darshans it their way, and Rabbanan who darshan it in their way. That was based on the earlier sugya today, which was Rebbe said, it's coming to tell you that it all goes by the mitzorah, and if the guy was ashir, remember, then if the mitzorah was ani, but the person who comes to pay was ashir, then it goes by the ashir. The ashir has to pay. Imdalhu is only, right, that it has to be, the mitzorah has to be ani, but also the madir has to be. And the Rabbanan, he says, no, if the mitzorah was ashir, and midiro ani, he brought it for the other case. If the mitzorah is rich, right, and the person who said, I'll take it upon me, is poor, he doesn't get the heter, because remember, Imdalhu is the mitzorah has to be poor. And if the mitzorah is rich, it doesn't matter who's taking on the vow, he still has to pay like an ani. Okay, I'm sorry, like an ashir, even if he's ani. So they each darshan it for their own thing, and then therefore, Dalhu is not free to say Mitrilatova ad Sofo. And that supports the three opinions that we saw that all say that he could be potentially still counted as a poor if it's certain part of the process he was still poor.